tell you what I want to look at this morning. That's the subject of temptation. The subject of temptation. We see that here in this chapter. We'll read a few verses here. You can write that on the CD, I guess, there, brother. Temptation. So, all right. James in chapter number 1, begin reading in verse 1. I like how these people start these things. Paul, he always started it with this, except for one book, Hebrews. If he wrote it, he started it by saying, God. You know? And if he wrote the rest, and he wrote the rest of them that he wrote, then he started with saying, Paul. And here James, he says, James, I've been studying and preaching through the book of Jude. It starts the same way, don't it? I'm going to look at it before I stick my neck out here, because I don't remember things all that well. Jude, ain't it started to say, Jude. So I don't have to worry too much about it. But you know, I got to looking at Jude. Which Jude is it? There's three different groups in the Bible. Jude had a brother named James. But anyway, and so most people say this James here is a brother of Jude, whichever James this was, and people talk about that. But anyway, let that be as it may. We'll get in the ball of wax we don't want to get into. But in the book of James in chapter number 1, Bible said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So this is another Hebrew epistle. Hebrews is written to Hebrews. James is written to Hebrews. And so is 1st and 2nd Peter. You ever notice how these books are put together here? You got the four Gospels. Then you got the historical book, the book of Acts. Then you got the church epistles. Then you got the pastoral epistles. And then you got the Hebrew books. And then you got John, general epistles. And then you got the book of Revelation. So, and though some of those got about the same thing there, Jude is dealing with the same thing basically that the book of 2 John is there, and so on. But anyway, let that be as it may. So he's writing to these 12 tribes scattered abroad. Verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And lastly, verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray and ask of you to work in me and through me, work in each heart. May you be exalted here today. May the word be magnified. Lord, please help now and do what I could never do in 10,000 years. I pray you do here in what time we have allotted to us. We pray now, look to you and cling to you. seek to draw from you and pray you'd open up the word and help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Temptation. Now, I don't know a whole lot about this chapter, and I just got started looking at it for my own personal use. And so, like I said, I've been preaching in these prisons and in the church where I've been trying to help there, interim pastor. I'm keeping that word interim in there because I keep telling them now, if you hear something you don't like, why, you know, I'll move along. We ain't real, you know, binding there and so forth and all. More I work with it, the more I think I ain't much of a pastor, amen. But anyway and all. Anyhow, but I've been preaching through the book of Jude and everything. So, but I've been looking at this right here for a few days. I started out looking at it last week just for myself, looking at some things in here to try to help me with, I feel like, some weaknesses and some things and all and everything. Now, I ain't out of here, you know, getting into pornography and gambling and getting drunk and high and stuff like that. But, you know, I ain't perfect yet. Amen.
That's right.
So I'm still wanting the Lord to help me.
Amen.
I learned something a long time ago at one of them Bible colleges. I picked up a little something at all of them that I went to. And one of them I picked up and all that helped me out there, Jack Scott, that tells you where one of them I went to. He said, well, education teaches you that you never stop learning. So yeah. I'm still a learning. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
But anyhow, I don't know a whole lot about this chapter here. I'm open to the Lord to be and want to be teachable. But looks to me like this word temptation in these verses we've read right here, we got two different thoughts. Two different thoughts.
Right.
Now with the first one here, and I will look at the first one, he said in verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations.
Yep.
Now, humanly speaking, how in the world can I find it joyful? Well, some of these things, I got wrote here in the margin of my Bible. Like I told you, you know, I got one of these Bibles where you got a row of scripture, then you got a row of blank page. And boy, that's real handy to have whenever you start putting things in there. But I wrote this down there, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I wrote, train yourself to think this way. Now, I'll tell you a problem I have.
Yeah.
No matter how long it seems like I read the Bible, when I get through reading it and put aside, then I'm starting to do other things. And in the course of doing these other things, what I've just read get further and further and further off my mind.
Right.
And you had to train yourself and you had to be reminded and all.
Right.
And like I heard a preacher say one time, he said, now, when you get through, need to pray all you can. When you get through praying and say amen, don't think that you're leaving it.
No,
just need to continue walking in that attitude and everything. And so forth. So these things, whenever the Lord saves us, we are saved, but we are being saved.
That's right.
Okay?
That's
and so right. We are to try to mimic the teacher and the teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore then he's working on us. So,
right.
So he says, my brethren, count it all joy. When you total it all up,
right.
When you get it all calculated, count it all joy when you fall in these divers temptations. Mm-hmm. You may be thinking, now, this here temptation of sin, how can I count it joy? Well, this first way he uses the word temptation, I don't think he's talking about temptation to sin.
That's right. I believe that.
You say, well, what's he talking about when he's talking about being tempted? Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to go with me now to the book of Genesis. First book of the Bible. Book of Genesis. I asked him, inmates the other day, I told him to turn to the 65th book of the Bible. And if I told you to turn to the 65th book of the Bible, do you know which one to turn to? They was trying to think, you know, which, how many books are in the Bible,
yeah.
You know? So if I told you to turn to the first one of the Old Testament, you know where to go, amen?
Yeah.
Most everybody knows, but if I said the 64th book, would you know which one to go to? But anyway, you know, anyhow, Genesis in chapter number 22 and verse number 1. Now notice, Genesis 22 verse 1, and it came to pass that God did tempt Abraham.
Right.
And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Mm-hmm. Notice the words, and God did tempt Abraham.
Right.
Now, when it says that God did tempt Abraham, if you remember in the passages we read back there in the book of James, the Bible said that God does not tempt man. So if you're looking for a contradiction in the Bible, now if you're looking for one, there you go right there. I just give you some fuel for your fire.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in here is, you know, and all. But if you think, well, you know, the Bible's full of contradictions. Well, and you ask somebody, you say, well, most people that say that, you ask them, say, well, where is one?
Uh-huh.
And they can't tell you.
Uh-huh.
And you would think, well, if the Bible says that God does not tempt people, but he tempted Abraham, then how do you explain that? Well, if you got your Bible,
yeah,
go with me to the book of Hebrews, mm-hmm, chapter number 11,
right,
verse number 17.
Yeah.
I heard this years ago, and I like it, and I've tried to use this mentality, and that is that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible.
Amen.
Here's a good example of that. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 17. Bible said, by faith Abraham, when he was tried. Now this right here in Hebrews 11:17 is talking about the same thing that we found over there in the book of Genesis chapter number 22 and verse 1, where the Bible said God did tempt Abraham.
Right.
So when the Bible says that God does not tempt man, but yet he tempted Abraham, how do you explain that? You explain it by what the Bible said in the book of Hebrews there, that God, Hebrews 11, verse number 17, that God, when by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, God tried him. He tempted him. He tried him. He tested him. Now, whenever God tried Abraham, God was not trying him to see what Abraham was made out of. God already knew what Abraham was made out of. See? So, God was not trying him to see what he was made out of because wondering if he could trust him or this and that and so forth, but God was revealing him to him. Now, when God starts trying me and starts trying you, he's not trying to figure out what we're made out of. He's trying to reveal to us what we're made out of. And I tell you, I ain't made out of very much. Amen?
Right.
I don't feel like I'm made out of very much. Amen? And it's like, I've heard this, you know, man needs to know his limitations. Amen?
Yeah.
I seen a fellow the other day, he was watching a program, and he was interviewing this here fellow. He used to be a stunt man in Westerns and so forth. And before he got started in that, he was an Olympic runner, and he could jump, run, you know how they'd run, and they'd jump over things. And he was running along and jumping, and he jumped over a tractor. It was an orange tractor, so we'd know what kind it was, amen. You know? And I thought, well, you know, now if I was going, I believe I could run and jump over some things. I don't think I'd try a tractor, amen. So, you know, so we need to know our limitations and everything. But sometimes we think we might have it all figured out, you know, and God brings some things to about in our hearts and lives to reveal to us more about ourselves. And I want to tell you something about trials. I call them the three terrible T's. Trials, troubles, and tribulations.
That's right.
They should not drive us from God,
that's
but
right,
should drive us to God.
That's right.
See? Because the Christian life, my friend, is a life that is dependent upon God.
That's right.
You can't live the Christian life separate from God. Matter of fact, God never called upon me. People say, well, I can't live the Christian life. Well, of course you can't.
Nope.
You say, well, you just need to quit trying. You say, well, now, Brother Al, that's not good advice. Well, quit trying and trusting yourself start trusting the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. So the Christian life is dependent upon God. And so whenever we face trials, troubles, and tribulations, the three terrible T's,
yep,
it shouldn't drive us from God. It shouldn't cause us to toss in the towel,
right,
but it should drive us to a place where we're seeking the Lord and trusting Him. I'm going to tell you right now, whenever God saves you, you ain't going to quit seeking.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. You're just going to be a seeker in a different way. Amen.
That's exactly right.
You seeking the Lord to save you, I'm seeking Him to guide me, amen?
Right.
You said seeking the Lord about, what's this thing about salvation? I feel like the angels, I'm wanting to look into it. I don't understand it all. Well, just let me tell you, it's good, amen? You'll sure like it when you rest by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? You sure gonna like it, amen? And then you'll be able to experience it. Well, I know what they're talking about now. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So, we got these divers temptations. Bible said, my brethren, count it all joy. Now, how in the world can you count it joy? Well, you're going to have to think that way because you're going to have to think a little bit out in the future.
Yeah.
See? I tell you the reason a lot of people get, the reason that they're locked up, that just all of a sudden they made a wrong decision all of a sudden. Maybe some boys they out piddling around, messing around, you know, going down the street and this, that, and they say, well, you know, there's a girl, you know. Well, let's get her and rape her. All right, well, yeah, I will if you will. Just made a wrong decision just like that, you know. That car window's rolled down. Ain't nobody looking, you know. Get that pocketbook out of there. And somebody catches them, just all of a sudden made a wrong. Never thought about looking at the future. Never thought about, you know, being arrested. Never thought about having your name put in the paper, maybe on the TV screen, all the lawyers and the DAs and all that rigmarole and stuff like that and all the money and this and that and then the time and I. Never think about that. Well, we need to think about the future a little bit because the Bible said there, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this,
yes,
that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So we don't like maybe what the situation that we're in, and we don't like what we're going through. If we're being put through the mill, we're thinking this and that. Why is that? Well, God's got something out in the future, see? And the older I get, the more I look at things that way. Used to, you know, I just looked at whatever it was immediate. You know, what's now? Well, I'm hungry now, got to eat right now. Or, you know, I'm thirsty now, got to drink right now. Or, you know, I don't feel good right now. Give me a pill right now. Whatever. Well, you know, there's, what about the future? See? And so whenever God lets us go through things, He's got something in the future. So molding and making and shaping better prepares us for a future time where He can use us. If I were to go to your room, in your hospital room, and they told you you got cancer, or you was battling cancer. And I went to your room and I said to you, you know, well, I sympathize with you. I can't say I know what you're going through because I'm not you, but I can sympathize with you because I've been there, see? I've had cancer. I've had the tumor removed. I've had 17 radiation treatments. So I can't really know what that person's going through, but I can say, you know, I can tell you what my experience was like, see? So whenever God puts us through the mill, if we want to use that, trying and testing and molding and making and shaping, and you know, whenever you start working with steel, I hadn't done a whole lot of that, but you know, back years ago, I had a one of these here iron rods, and I needed a poker. So I got that thing and put it in the fire. And whenever I got it out then, I took a hammer and put that thing on a piece of railroad track I had there and kept on molding and shaping until I bent that thing where I could use it. And when God lets us be tried and tested like that, and lets us get in the fire like that, He's working on us to better shape us where He can use us, see? So in that mindset then, you could see why He says what He says. If we can keep it in mind, here's another thing I wrote beside of verse 3, knowing this, if one doesn't know this, then learn this. When your faith is tried, it produces patience. See?
Yeah.
So here's something we need to know. Now, do you know this? Okay. If you don't know it, then learn it.
Yeah.
Now, I can try every way in the world to cram it down your throat. I can get your eye attention. I can get your ear gate.
Yeah.
But I hope that the Holy Ghost puts it down in your heart and soul. Amen. That's what I need. That's what I'm praying. Now, Lord, help me to think this way,
yeah,
no matter what I go through.
Yeah.
Now, I don't like red lights. You like them? Amen. I don't like slow-poke drivers.
Yeah.
If you one of them, speed up a little bit. Amen. He said, brother, I'll slow down a little. Oh, okay.
I say that's true. Amen. You know, if I from Crab Orchard to Broadhead, they got a brand new road. Been there about, what was it, 4 or 5 years, whatever. I mean, they ain't paved it but one time. That's when they built the thing. And so on, got these rumble things on the side and even got some down the middle. So if you're texting, don't do that. But if you do that, or if you happen to nod out, you're going to realize you're either on one side or the other too far. Amen. But between there and the interstate, or up there at a red light outside of Mount Vernon, from people from Broadhead to Mount Vernon still think that the road only is about 35 miles per hour. And you got a nice big wide road over here and over here. Big old lane for the tractors to go down in and everything, you know, if they need to and this and that. But we still got the, and so I get behind one of them, and you can't, and that part of that, you got a curve. They went around the golf course, and you can't see the pass there. So I'm sitting there fuming, see. And my wife is getting on to me. You know, and there's a reason for this now, Al. There's a reason for this. I'm thinking, and I've come real close to thinking, I'm just going to get over here on this shoulder.
Yeah.
And go around. What's wrong with you? Woke you up, amen. And go around on the shoulder and get back over here, amen. He said, we was going down the road yesterday over here at, I don't know where it was. Anyway, somewhere on the road. And they was working on these here, the parkway, I guess it was. Yeah, the parkway out here on the Western Kentucky Parkway. And had these orange barrels out there right in the middle. And we was behind somebody, and you know, you can't do a whole lot there, but you can go a little faster than what you did. And I'm sitting over here thinking, all I got to do is whoosh, between them barrels over here in this other lane, and wham, well, that there, you know, eight-cylinder, and then right back over here, amen, had an eight-cylinder GMC. Brother Tim ain't here, I tell you what, them government motor products, amen. Anyway, and so back over here and right in front, and then I can sit, you know, and do, but no. Now, there's reason for this, and who knows what it is. Did you know sometimes, you know, the Lord knows more about these things we do. That if I went along every time, I might be in a wreck up there. A deer might be up there. There's no telling what it is. So therefore, no matter what we go through, see, and things get under our skin, see, and we want to try to manipulate and control things and micromanage things. Well, the first thing of it is, I'm not in control of everything. God is in control of everything. So then, therefore, then we need patience. After that, we've done the will of God, amen, that we might have some patience to wait on. So therefore, no matter what we go through, these mild things, like the traffics and laws and red lights and stop signs. You know, I grew up down in Tennessee. They call it Tennessee Road, you know. And to me, red lights, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you sitting at a red light and ain't nobody around, what you doing sitting there? Amen. I mean, you know, but anyhow, so. So, yeah, but when you get in New York City, which I've never been in, amen, or Paducah, amen, or something like that, you know, and all, and it's a rush hour traffic, then we need red lights, amen, and all. But anyway, let that be somebody. So no matter what kind of trying, we feel like we're being tried, we feel like we're being tested and this and that. I tell you some goofy stuff. To me, stupid stuff. Went to the prison not long ago. It was last month. Over in Manchester, the federal prison. And I went in there like I've been doing the last 12 years, however how long it's been, 12, 13, whatever it is, been going in there. Well, it's 39 degrees and drizzling rain. What do you wear when it's 39 degrees and drizzling rain? And you going in there to preach, you preached the night before, or did I, or the night or two before. If it wasn't Thursday, it was Friday. I can't remember now. Probably that Tuesday before too. And you got Sunday to preach and so forth and all. I try to stay the same temperature. So I go in, you know, and so forth, and I got my hat on like I used to do, and trying to stay the same temperature. Well, I get up there to get my little old badge or ID, they call it, so I can go into the prison and preach there. And that woman said, well, that's the first problem I had, a woman. She comes to me and she says, you can't wear the head covering in here. I'm thinking head covering. I'm not a Muslim or a Jew. What are you talking about, head covering? She said, can't wait. So I didn't pay no attention to her. I thought, well, I ain't paying no attention to you. Anyhow, you know. So I just stood there waiting on to bring the ID. And then a man comes up there and said, you can't wear a head covering in here. Said, you visitors not allowed to do that. I've been wearing head coverings in there when it's drizzling rain and raining for 12 years. What in the world's happened, you know? And I tell you, he said, well, you're welcome to go out back out to your vehicle and leave your hat, or you can take it down front. So when I turn around to walk, I'm thinking, I'm going to the house. Y'all can have it. Then I thought, no, you can't do that. That ain't right. There'll be 50-something men sitting up at this chapel waiting on you to preach the word of God. So I caught myself, and I just went down there and pulled it off and set it there. And I'm thinking, what in the world kind of ignoramus? And I go inside of there, and all these here COs that want to either got a cap on or a toboggan or something other. All of the inmates, they got something on their head, but yet I can't wear something. What world? So anyway, you know, so these things that we feel like, and I'll tell you what a lot of that is. We get used to something. You ever milk cows? Goats the same way. If you ever milk goats, they ever get used to coming up, you know, at a certain time. They got a certain place they go into. They're going to go in there. They're going to do a certain thing. You and I are the same way. And whenever we get our little routines mixed up. Mm-hmm. Get a little routines mixed up, you know, this and that. Feel like we're getting the short end of the stick or whatever. We're being tried and tested. There's a reason for that. And you see what's driving me to this passage, okay? So then I'm trying to learn, knowing this, okay? So no matter what I go through, whether it's in these mild afflictions, Bible calling light afflictions, and the things that Paul was going through, my friend, I would consider myself, you know, really, God, where are you? You must not love me anymore. And these little old things that we go through with traffic laws compared to what Paul went through is nothing.
Right.
Telling me I can't wear that. And that chaplain, I said something to him about it. He said, well, he said, you know how it is, you know, being persecuted. I thought, well, no, I'm not really being persecuted. I'm just being annoyed, you know, and so forth, and all, and this and that, or singled out or something other, you know. Come find out a lot of them older ones had been there and letting all this stuff slide. All this stuff was on the books, and they got some new people in, and they just by the book people. I told some of them other ones, I said, can't y'all get them off somewhere and have a little talk with them and say, hey, you know, there's a lot of things by the book. What else are you doing that's by the book that you're not doing? What else is by the book you're not doing? Okay, and everything. But these little old light afflictions.
Yeah.
So no matter what it is we go through, we can look at it every how we want to look at it and this and that. But if our routine's messed up, or we feel like we're being hindered or hampered or whatever it is, every how we view this, then we need to look at it this way, to count it all joy. Because
yeah.
There's a reason for it.
Right.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Right.
Now, I'm going to look at some scriptures now. Won't you turn with me to the book of Corinthians, the second letter in the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians, let me get over to where that is. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 7. Of course, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church there at Corinth, his second letter, chapters 12 and verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, you're talking about these revelations and so forth. He could have gotten to a place where he got up maybe on a high horse thinking, you know, man, I tell you, I'm really something. You know, God chose me and singled me out, and the way he saved me and so forth, and all that I went through and what I saw and that experience and everything, all about that. And now all these revelations and they're writing these epistles and things like that. I'll tell you what, now the Apostle Paul, he is awry. So what God used to fight that
and to help him, he said in verse number 12 there, verse number 7, chapter 12, that he had a thorn in the flesh sent by the devil. Verse 8, for this thing, he said, this thorn in the flesh, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, the Lord said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then he said, most gladly, count it all joy. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure, count it all joy. See, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. So there's more than one way to look at things. We might look at things that we're going through as God, you know, not loving me like he ought to, and I feel like I'm getting the short end of the stick and this and that, and nobody knows the troubles I'm in. Can't wear my hat, you know, and it drizzling rain, and what if I take a cold? Well, praise God, you know, they didn't make me take my Zycam out, amen. Yeah. Say, what's that? Well, if I feel like I'm getting a cold, boy, I pop one of them. So far, you know, and this... yeah, well, evidently they didn't go off in the metal detector, amen? And nobody felt of me. They call it patting you down. I say, you don't feel of me? Go ahead and feel of me, amen? I'm hoping maybe that'll say, well, no, we don't want to feel of you. Well, no, amen? That's how they call it pat down. I call it feeling of you, amen? So no matter what we go through, see? So therefore, there's reason for it all. You think God's a God of providence?
Sure.
You say, well, I don't know what you mean by that. You think God's in charge?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I think that. Well, you think he's in charge of me turning this little thing here just like that right now? Yeah. Okay. So he's in charge of everything. Amen. He's in charge of everything. God is a God of providence. God under his arrangement, see. So no matter what we go through, we're there by divine appointment. Whether it's sickness, everybody we've been praying for, Miss Cheryl down yonder in Florida, amen, with all this pain in her stomach, I don't know why she's going through all of that, but there's a reason.
That's right.
Brother Tim, we don't know why, but I'll tell you one thing it's caused me to do and look and say, well, he's not here, who's going to take his place? And we ain't looking for another brother Tim Rutherford, amen. God don't need a brother Tim Rutherford. Don't need another one, amen. And so forth, but God will raise up who he wants where he will, amen. Brother Justin White, I didn't know anything about him, amen. He showed up over at that camp meeting. We thought, praise God, glory, hallelujah, where'd this Holy Ghost preacher come from, amen. And now he's over here, and then we find out he's got a brother.
Yeah.
I wonder, you got any more of them? Amen. I'd like to meet your mom and daddy, amen. I wonder what they like. Of course, I'd like to meet Siler's mom and daddy too. Wouldn't that be a trip? Amen. I told him, I said, you need to get your mom and daddy to come one of these meetings so we could all have a good time with them. Amen. But anyhow, I tell you one thing it's done. It's called me saying, Lord, I pray. And the Bible said, you know, we have not because we asked not, and we need to pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers.
Amen.
And, you know, God answers prayer, and prayer is a means that God uses to accomplish his will on earth. And so we don't know why things happen the way they do, but there's a reason for it. And everything that does, my friend, God molds and makes and shapes and brings about and allows and things that are good, God's most certainly in that. And things, my friend, that are wrong and even sinful, God does allow that, and there's a reason for it.
That's right.
See? So no matter what we go through, so when we fall in divers temptations, no matter what they are, if we could keep it in our mind to count it all joy, amen,
knowing this, that down the road we're going to benefit from it for His honor and for His glory.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we see that. And verse number 12 said there, said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. I'm going to say one more thing about this thing of temptation and being tried, and then we'll try to get off of it. And that's this. These things I've talked about, we could talk about right now and jest and laugh, but you still get the message because
yes, sir.
You
yes, sir.
Have these quirks and things also.
Yeah.
I talked to Leonard Ravenhill back in the late 80s by telephone call. He wrote several books on revival and things like that and all. And I asked him, I said, you think we'll ever have revival in America? He said, if we don't, that was in the late 80s, probably 88, 89. He said, if we don't have revival, he said, the Sodomites will take over in 10 years.
Oh my.
That was the prediction that he made.
Yeah, how about that? Mm-hmm.
Well, what's happening? Now, you know who we got to run in this country for a president. You know his feelings and the cabinet members, and we got Muslims up there in that cabinet. You know what they think about Christians? And I'm going to tell you, they can justify their lying according to their book. Amen. You know who's run this country? You know who's probably going to be the next president. Amen. If it ain't that heifer, it'll be some other old heathen. Amen. Better say it while we can.
Yeah. That's right.
I hope it won't be that way. This summer they're going to make some rules about this thing of marriage. And by the way, there ain't but one kind of marriage. That's between
right.
a man and a woman.
That's right.
Two men, they can do whatever they want to do sexually. I just leave that. Don't go nowhere with that. I'm just saying, but it ain't marriage.
No, sir.
Two men cannot marry. They want to do a bunch of old, you know, slimy, devilish things and so forth and all, you know, then you ought not to. But, you know, that, and you try to get out here and get married, that is not marriage.
Right.
Two women trying to go before a justice of the peace or some quote-unquote preacher, they're not a preacher. If they was a preacher, they'd preach against that, amen?
That's right.
Then, if they go before them, then they can do that if they want to. That ain't right, but anyhow, that still ain't marriage.
That's right.
See?
That's right.
But they're trying to redefine marriage. When they come out, and I'm going to say, if they come out and side with the Sodomites, because I don't know, more than likely they will.
Lord help.
But I hope they don't. Then what's going to keep them from getting together and saying, all right, here's what we need to do. But I tell you what's going on. There's no way to explain all this mess other than the devil.
That's it. Yeah.
So then I tell you what's going to. It's coming down then. Then devil, he don't like preachers and he don't like churches.
Right.
And we need to silence all these preachers and all these churches. So when these Sodomites get together, then I ain't giving them no ideas. I don't have to. They got a leader. Amen. But anyhow, whenever they start getting together and say, here's what we need to do then. We need to go up here. We need to go to Paducah, find the biggest church up there, the one that's, and go up there and say, now, you know, we love each other. Yeah, uh-huh. And we want to get married. We want you to marry us. And they say, well, I can't do that. Don't perform sodomite marriages. Okay, then we'll run over here then, and say that, you know, and then they'll bring a lawsuit against you. Take your tax exemption status away. Okay. You say, well, now, there's some churches, they don't need that anyway. I understand that. So it's not going to stop there. Won't stop with taking the tax exempt status away. I'm talking about testing. I'm talking about trying.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Count it all joy when you fall into, what about that?
Right.
Then they start getting over and saying, well, you know, all right, so tax exemption status is gone and this and that. And now then, but you still speak it out. We heard you on radio speak it out against this. And so that's hate speech.
Yeah.
So we're going to find you. I ain't paying the fine.
I'm going to stand up for this book. I'm going to preach this book like God laid it down. You can take it or leave it, like it or lump it. I'm going to preach it. Okay,
amen.
Then. We're going to put such a big fine on you that we're going to take everything you got there. We're going to lock down your bank account. We're going to take everything you got, all your property and everything, to try to pay these fines off. Then when they get everything you got, you're standing out there nothing, still preaching the word of God, they start putting you away.
Yeah.
That's where it's coming to.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it is.
Now then, let's get it over there. Let's get it off these traffic laws and how we feel about being get the short end of the stick, or
yeah,
somebody laughing at us when we pray over a meal, you know,
yeah,
at a restaurant somewhere or another. I feel persecuted. They laughed at me. I get through praying. I don't even look at anybody. I don't care. Somebody comes up to me and say, you offended my rights by doing that and so forth. I said, well, you can't turn your head. Amen. If I'm offending you by praying in public, why don't you turn your head around? Amen. You ain't got to look at me, do you? I wasn't talking to you. No, I was talking to God. Amen. He said, Brother Al, that's hateful. Well, I don't mean to be, but anyway, I'm just being. We get too many whooshes in the day, in this time. We can't even play football no more. Well, that's a rough sport. They're going to get hurt. Well, you don't think boxers get hurt? Amen. And things like that. But anyway, so let that be as it may. But it's coming to the point then, my friend, where they're going to silence the churches and the preachers.
That's right.
Then we're going to see what we're made out of. And like I tell you, I done seen it. I ain't made out of very much. And it's only going to be the grace of God. People say, I've heard preachers get up, you know, make light about, well, you know, if I get locked up, I'll just have an indoor prison ministry. I'm thinking, you're a fool. You don't know what it's like to spend the night there, one night, let alone go in there and be away from your family.
That's
nothing
right.
You can do with your kids, your grandkids. There's nothing you can do with your mate. She decides to, you know, leave you and divorce you and this and that. Then there's nothing you can do about it. You're here, you're stuck. And I'm going to tell you, when they start doing that with us and this and that, you think they're going to treat us good? I want you to think about a man with me. You all know the name. His name is Kent Hovind. Why in the world is he going through what he's going through? Why in the world, you know, with all the murderers and rapers and bombers and people like that, you know, and all and going into places and shooting up people and this and that, and they'll get in and they'll get out, and they've got a man like this that can't get out because of some little old law. It is a law. But I'm going to tell you, they're putting all these laws out there to pick and choose who they want to pick on, when and where.
Right.
There's laws against sodomy.
Right.
When I was pastor down in Florida, I ain't going to mention those laws because we got too many diverse here and they don't need to hear that. But there's some laws still on the book in Florida where I was that to me was somewhat silly. I wouldn't see anything wrong with it between a husband and his wife, but there were some things on against the law that if a man and a woman were doing, they could be arrested for. But yet the law enforcement officers know where people are living together, not married and doing nothing about it, and a lot of them doing it themselves.
Right.
So they pick and choose about these laws, which ones they want to enforce on who.
Right.
See? So I'm just getting it right down to where the rubber meets the road. And if we're going to start looking at this and saying that we need to count it all joy because there's something God's got for me, so let's let me go through this and look for what God can do with it, then we need to do the same thing when it comes down to it, my friend, where we can't speak out against certain things any longer.
Lord help.
I preach against sodomy. I preach against shacking up.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I preach against women and lesbianism, amen. I preach against men with animals.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you, this thing about this sodomy and all this, that, and marriage, what's going to, I'll tell you where it's going. It's going, of course, there's more organization here with those sodomites and things like that. But this here thing about out yonder and when the further west you go, you know what you run into? Mormons. And the closer you get to Utah, and when you get there,
yeah.
I went out to a camp meeting in Blanding, Utah in 1997. That preacher, he's a cowboy preacher, westerner, and he wanted some southern preachers. He thought they was the best preachers, amen. And so he wanted southern preachers to come out there to preach. So I went out there. Just about every business out there was run by the Mormons. If you wasn't a Mormon, you came in and so forth, try to open up a business, they wouldn't have anything to do with you.
They said, don't patronize that business. They're not one of us. And the reason I brought that up is to say this. The Mormons, that old Mormon thinking was, well, you know, we got to populate some different planets. So I need a bunch of young'uns, and I need a bunch of wives. So if two men can marry, why can't I marry and have two or three wives? Mm-hmm. This thing about sodomite laws and this, that, I know we're plumb off of my subject, but anyway, that's where it's going to. If two men can marry, two women can marry, why can't a man have three or four wives? If two men can marry, well, then why can't I get me some juveniles? Or I got a thing for children. Why can't I get me some children? And therefore, hey, you're going to say this is against the law, but that over there's not against. So it's just going to wind up where it's going to be wholesale sexual sin and vice.
That's right.
Where it's going to.
Right.
So, and the more we speak out against it, and I'll tell you how it's going to look. In the book of 1 and 2 Peter, you know what one of the main theme of that epistle was? Be faithful under suffering. That's what it's about, see? You know, when you get to looking over there in the book of Acts and so forth and what they went through, you know why they were whipped and persecuted and went through all and in prison and things like that? Well, because they were breaking the law of the land. They were preachers preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, my friend, God is in control and He's in charge, but nonetheless, the Bible still says that Satan is the god of this world.
That's right.
And I tell you, he's organized.
Sure.
Now, we know he can go no further than what God has led him, but it looks like to me the Lord, the Bible said in the last days, men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and brothers get worse and worse and worse.
Right.
I'm 56 years old. When I was a kid growing up, I never had confronted these things that young people are being confronted with nowadays. Amen. And the things we had on TV compared to what's on TV and talking about all this different social media, Facebooking, I know that term. I know what they're talking about. I don't know anything about it. Amen. I don't have my picture on a book, so I don't have a Facebook. Amen. I don't have a Facebook. I don't know about Twitter and tweeting and Tweedledee and Tweedledum and all that. And everything you say, well, you Tweedledum. Well, I probably am. Amen. I don't know about all that stuff and everything. So I ain't it, but they're facing so many things, my friend. So many trials, troubles, tribulations, the three terrible T's, all of this. And therefore, I'm not a prophet nor a son of the prophet, but I just got through prophesying, I guess, what's going to happen if and why it is. So then where do I find myself in all of this? Am I going to stay faithful? I say, God, by the grace of God, Lord, please help me to. I go into these prisons and so forth, and one good thing about it, you know, I can get out. So far, I can get out. Amen? I've done time. I've been in where I can't get out. And whenever they told us that if y'all get out of here and go out here and cut bushes and pick up paper and stuff like that, well, I said, brother, let me on the road, gang. You know, I'm an outdoors person anyway. I'd just be outdoors doing something other than me. I'd just be outdoors reading and studying, amen?
Yeah.
But anyway, and so forth. So when it gets right down to, what, are we going to be able to stand? Are we going to be able to persevere? Are we going to be able to keep on? By the grace of God. By grace, I've made it this far, and I believe by the grace of God, He'll enable me to stand no matter what it is I got to stand up against. And I wonder what it's going to be like whenever they get a hold of some of these redneck preachers.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they start getting them on Hannity. And they start getting them on, you know, NBC and CBS and them little talk shows and what's called the View.
Oh,
amen.
Lord.
And they bring them up there, you know, and start, I tell you, here's what you need to do. Anytime they ask us a question, we need to answer that question with the Bible. They start saying, well, you this and you that. Well, you, now, all we got to do is say, well, you know, all I can't tell you about any of that. All I can tell you is what the Bible says. You don't know what the Bible says? And it's just like they did whenever they asked Peter. They said, now, Peter, by what name and authority did you raise this man up? Brother, he had the floor. And when they say to you, now why do you think this way? All we got to do is preach that Bible. If they don't like it, let them pull the plug.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. That's the way to handle it, see? The Word of God. If we're doing what we're doing based upon the Word of God, then we brought before the courts and the people and the news media and things like that, and they start saying, now, why are you doing what you're doing? Because I'm a preaching this book, amen. Amen. And just start preaching the Bible to them. If they don't like it, they can move the camera, amen. Yeah. And if you don't know what to do, my friend, just get down and start praying. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Holy Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee they won't keep the camera on you too long,
that's
amen.
Right.
Especially if you get to praying against the sins.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, when we fall into divers temptations, no matter what they are, light afflictions or heavy persecution and imprisonment, the attitude should be, count it all joy.
Right.
Why? Because it's going to be better in the future.
Amen.
For a child of God, it's going to get a whole lot better.
Right.
Amen. Number two, and it's time to eat, amen. You don't believe it's time to eat? I'm hungry. It's time to eat, amen. All righty. Verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Yep.
Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Amen.
Now this temptation here, personally, in my views and in my study of the Word of God, whatever that amounts to, and all, because I'm nothing. But in my views here, this first temptation in verse 2 and 3 is different than this temptation in verses 13. Let's put it this way. The temptation in verses 2 and 3 and 12 are different than the temptation in verses 13, 14, and 15. So verse number 13, this would be a good place to pick up for tomorrow. Amen. But anyway, let that be as it may. Verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Let's read that right. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So the Bible said right there then, let not a man say when he's tempted, well, I'm tempted of God. So anybody says, well, you know, I put my youngins in this van and I drove it off into this lake right here because God told me to.
No.
Okay. Well, what kind of God? If you heard a voice told you to do that, you ought to find out what kind of voice that was. Amen. You say, well, God told me to put my baby in this microwave and cook it. Okay. Well, what kind of God? See? You say, well, you know, God telling me to take this gun and blow my brains out. What kind of God? See? So when you start saying you're hearing voices, and God told me to do this, and God told me to do that. Well, the Bible said that let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God.
That's right.
For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man
That's right.
to do evil and to sin.
That's
See,
right.
that's what he's talking about. So therefore then, we need to look, if we hearing voices and we doing wrong and disobeying God and acting irresponsible in rebellion against God, don't need to blame God with that. Just need to look at yourself. He said in verse 14, for every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So man can be drawn away of his own lust that enticed. Now we can associate that, those of us that are fishermen. Have you ever gone fishing? Are you a hunter or a trapper? You say, what do you mean? Well, you trap fur. You know what, do you know what coyotes eat? They love them cottontails. See, if a coyote just got through eating a cottontail, and he's satisfied, and he's laying over here somewhere or another, And he's licking his lips. He's laying over there, maybe in the sun, and getting a little warm. He sees another cottontail. What's he going to do? He can't help but to go after. That's his nature. You take a worm, I don't care if it's artificial or not, and you take that worm and you throw it out there next to that log in that river or that lake or that pond or that rock or a stump. And if there's a bass over there, you throw that thing out. Let sit there a minute and then hit it like that and then hit it again and then start reeling it in. If that bass sees it, there just ain't no way he can pass that up. He's going to...